Hey, everyone, it's Naomi Wolf of Daily Clout, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be here with State Representative from New Hampshire, Melissa Blazek. Melissa, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here and do this.
Well, I should have said State Representative Blazek, but if you give me permission to call you Melissa, I'll go
ahead.
You
can call me Melissa.
So one of the reasons I was so eager to talk to you is that you are part of a group of legislators in New Hampshire who are working on reopening New Hampshire and ending emergency measures. Specifically, you said you were elected on that kind of platform. Tell me about that, please.
Right. So a year ago at this time, I was leading a quiet life and I miss it. Someday I'm going to go back to that. Then COVID hit, and in April of 2020, Reopen New Hampshire was founded, and I sort of weaseled my way onto the board there. And by late May, it became very obvious to us that the only path forward was the legislature. In New Hampshire, the way our laws are currently written, only the governor may end the state of emergency, or the legislature may vote via concurrent resolution to terminate the state of emergency. And our state of emergency laws, I mean, I think everyone's need a lot of work now that we know how they can be used and abused. But ours in particular had never been used before. We didn't even have them until they were a response to 9/11. Right. And so we endorsed and helped candidates run for office, and we had 74 endorsed candidates win, including myself.
That's amazing.
So, and we are all, you know, committed to, doing several things, not only ending emergency measures so that the state is reopened again, but also to reforming our state of emergency laws and generally making changes so that what happened here this year can't happen again.
This is, I mean, I honestly get chills listening to you, Melissa, because these are words that everyone in America who's alert at all has been craving to hear. Mm-hmm. So you described this convoluted path to ending emergency laws in New Hampshire. And I've heard, I mean, that's not even the worst. It's even worse in New York State. I mean, it's this tautology in New York State. The governor who imposed the state of emergency has to end the state of emergency, unless there's elaborate action from the legislature. And I hear versions of this across the country. So we've got a national problem. And that's so interesting that you say that this was put in place after 9/11. I'm sure that's true in other states as well. So go ahead and speak to, you know, why is it so complicated, and how will you reform it if you're successful?
Well, I don't believe that any of our state of emergency laws, maybe in the entire country, have been used for an endemic disease before,
exactly.
Right? And at the beginning of this, I mean, I'm no doctor, but I kept looking and thinking, this is not deadly enough to not end up being endemic. And so what are we doing? There's never going to be a benchmark of it's gone.
Right.
So if we're going to use our state of emergency powers for this type of situation, then we're going to have to use it all the time, and it's never going to go away. And I want to be clear with everyone, while you are living in a state of emergency where your governor has unlimited authority to pretty much do anything that they want, in New Hampshire, our governor, the attorney general has argued, and the courts have upheld, that he has the right to suspend the Constitution if he thinks it is necessary.
Okay. Oh.
So he has unlimited authority. We are not living in a constitutional republic. You are not living in a free society. You are living in a one-man rule society.
Oh my God.
So there is a very dedicated group of legislators. You know, I'm a freshman, but people who have been there a long time as well. And in the fall, we submitted so many different bills for different state of emergency changes. We basically had a bill for each idea, right? And what's happened is that in committee, they've kind of taken these ideas and pieced them together. Now, ultimately, what has ended up happening, I actually did file the resolution to terminate the state of emergency. That was retained. So we, in New Hampshire, I suppose we are fully announced, so I'm not letting the cat out of the bag here, but we do have a Freedom Caucus, and it has existed in the New Hampshire House before, and the Freedom Caucus has been reformed this year. And the reality is, and I want to put this out there for other legislators, this is budget year, and you have to use it. We do not have a super majority. The Democrats are not on our side about this. Okay. They vote against it at every turn. We have a very narrow majority, which means we cannot get a veto override. The budget is the only leverage. I've been kind of saying once the ink is dried on the budget, it's all over. So we actually do. It's, I mean, it's out there. We're going to vote on it tomorrow, actually. Wow. But the budget in the House has been amended with state of emergency reform in it.
My God, this is such big news.
Yes. So basically what will happen is that the every 21 days, the legislature is compelled to meet to vote via concurrent resolution to extend. Now, extending versus terminating is a very different scenario, especially I have a Republican governor and a Republican controlled legislature. Unfortunately, what's happened with our narrow majority is that there's just enough people in the Republican caucus who feel that terminating the state of emergency is, it makes it seem like we're slapping the governor. I don't agree with that, but that's how they feel. So, but extending it is quite different than terminating it. So also,
you mean,
and I'm not the only state that has this. People right. need to also realize this. Most, I think a lot of states are like this. House rules say that you can only file a resolution or a bill within a certain time frame. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Let's say it's now time in the state of emergency, right, to have to file that resolution to be able to extend the state of emergency. Well, because it's going to be outside of the time frame, potentially, it actually might require 2/3 to extend it. And most states don't have that. So that's where we are now. Also, it hands the financial aspect of the state of emergency back to out of the hands of the governor. The governor's been handling all of the financials. 110%. It feels like he's a secret checkbook because I have not been able to figure out what's going on. It's going to go right back into the hand. We have an executive council that'll go back to them. What else is in there? Also, we've added a choice to be able to have a nominal state of emergency where the legislature can vote to create a situation where the governor doesn't have any emergency order authority.
Okay. I mean, that's better than nothing. It's not as clear cut as I'd like, but politics is the art of the possible.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe next year we'll add some other ideas. I have different ideas, but you know, this is a first step.
Right. Absolutely. It's so important. And again, you know, you said you want to share this with other legislators. This is such an important part of what also we want to do with this interview, and we're so grateful to you for making time right before this important vote, because we're hoping that state legislators and, you know, all the way up to the federal level will be watching this and thinking, here are some ideas, here's a way to get it done. Mm-hmm. So why would a Republican governor, I mean, I know you can't kind of come out guns blazing, you know, at your fellow Republican governor, but why would he extend the state of emergency? I've seen the numbers in New Hampshire for COVID infections and deaths. They're about the same as in Massachusetts. It's not an emergency. I mean, every death is sad, but in Massachusetts, where we're also under a state of emergency, there are 8 deaths with COVID a month. The average age is 85. You know, very sad, but that's the age of people who die of things, sadly. And when you map it against other causes of death per population, which is the only real math, what you get is that COVID deaths are below deaths from opioid overdoses in Massachusetts. As you said, it's endemic, which means not a pandemic, right? Not, you know, it's something.
It means it's never going to go away. It will always circulate in the population, likely. So
exactly. So why would a Republican governor do something so unpopular with the people of New Hampshire, live free or die?
Mm. So I want to be clear because people mix up these terms. So state of emergency versus emergency orders or like COVID regulations, right? So there is currently only 2 states in the entire country who are not under an active state of emergency, only Alaska, because the way their law is written, it's like after a certain period of time, it must end. So for the last couple of months, they have not been in a state of emergency. Michigan is in a weird quasi one because the governor found some loophole when her legislature ended it. And I suspect that some others will end it soon, but my governor is not brave enough, I don't think, to be the first governor to get out there and end it, right? But he could end the COVID restrictions because other states have already done that. And we are still living with COVID restrictions. And you know, I have several issues with the COVID restrictions. Number one, I think that it's not the government's job to protect your health and safety. It is their job to protect your rights. It is their job to inform and educate people so they can make informed decisions about their own health. Yeah. But ultimately, it's the individual's right to make their own health and safety decisions. But in number two, none of them work.
Right.
Right. We've had a year of this. And the disease has only continued to spread, and it doesn't matter. I mean, North and South Dakota are a beautiful mapping, right? We've had New Hampshire's a very similar kind of trajectory of mitigation strategies as North Dakota. South Dakota's had none. They're the same size states, the same climate, the same urban rural spread, the same kind of activities and businesses that they would have. Identical curves, identical. There is no difference.
The data are in. I mean, I don't know if you follow the Great Barrington Declaration scientists, but
I do. I actually talked to the doctors quite a bit. They've testified in New Hampshire quite a bit.
Oh, fantastic. So yeah, I mean, any thoughtful person following the actual science knows that there's no argument anymore for COVID restrictions. They don't work. Masking doesn't work. You know, ventilation works. Keeping kids out of school doesn't work except to drive up childhood depression and so on. But hearing it from someone in a position of power like you is really important. Well, look, if anti-lockdown candidates make up now almost a quarter of your legislature, right? There are over 400 state legislators in New Hampshire.
And we're actually the majority of the majority. If I were going to say of people that would love to just end this tomorrow.
Right.
We are almost the majority. We might be the majority. I'm not 100% sure, but we're like right there, the majority of the entire House.
So that's a significant block. So yes. What do you think your chances are tomorrow, and how can people in New Hampshire help you? Can they bombard their own legislators with phone calls? I mean, this is a very time sensitive.
I think it's important to, you can call your state representatives, email them. They get more uncomfortable with phone calls. That's just like a little hint. They get a little bit more uncomfortable with phone calls. We will be meeting at the Bedford Sports Complex tomorrow. And from 8 to 9, we start at 9 p.m. I think that there are going to be a group of people out holding the signs asking to support the budget as amended. And I think we are going to pass the budget. So I'm feeling hopeful about
and
it.
And that means pass the end of...
That's part of it. It will be emergency order reform. Yep. Our emergency
reform. Okay. And well, you know, again, being a cynical constituent and not a person in a legislature, I mean, passing a reform of how emergency orders are deployed is a great first step, as you and I have discussed. But what guarantee do the people of New Hampshire have that the legislature, say you pass that, you know, from your mouth to God's ears, as my grandmother would say, right? What guarantee do people who are desperate to, you know, get their constitution back in New Hampshire have that the legislature, you know, next 28 days or whatever the cycle is, will say, you know what, we're not extending it?
So our budget, so here's the advantage of having something in the budget, right? The governor cannot line item veto.
Good.
You choose to veto the entire budget. That would be a bit of a crisis, honestly, and I don't think that he would do that. And the budget in New Hampshire goes into effect July 1st. So this will go into effect July 1st. Is it ideal? Do I wish it would happen now? Yes, I do. Ultimately, after kind of weighing the pros and cons of all the paths forward, I think that this is the most likely scenario to getting to the finish line. And I am getting this ball to the finish line. Man, I'm that person out there pushing the ball. I am getting this ball to the finish line. It's the last thing I do. So, yeah, I think.
But are they going to not extend the emergency powers?
I think we have a very good chance of not extending it because it will require a 2/3 vote because of the rule suspension most likely, but then also just, you know, extending it is very different than terminating it, like I said before. And then also in addition to that, it's going to be summer. Like, I actually do think that everyone will be like, wow, we're still doing this.
Right.
We're back into the next summer. It's going to be July. This is the Northeast. There won't be any cases, just like there weren't any cases last July. And everyone's going to be like, what are we still doing? So I think it's going to, I really do think that this is the best path forward. Obviously, it's always about counting votes.
Right.
You know? But at least it gives oversight. You know, we've had no oversight whatsoever. People are like, well, why can't you get rid of the mask mandate? Why can't because I can't, because there is no way to take a specific order and remove it. It's become a too big to fail situation.
Wow. Is that why these nonsensical rules continue on and
yes.
on?
Everything is now built on top of each other. So we've been working all legislative year to try to unravel it, actually. Wow. So people don't realize there's been a lot going on, right? We have to try to unravel the situation that's been created, because he almost did create this too big to fail situation. I think most governors did, because all these orders are built on top of each other. We're at like 80, I don't haven't even counted, 87 orders. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Why can't he, as governor, doesn't he have the power to say, you know what, I rescind all 80?
Of course he can.
Why won't he?
You know, because people cater to the most fearful in the population. Right. Like, we're kind of catering to the people who are shouting the loudest, and the people who are shouting the loudest are the ones who are afraid of dying. And they really do believe that this keeps them safe. And I will say we have sort of an additional challenge in New Hampshire, having a Republican governor who is not, you know, we're not New York. We've not been locked down like that. Okay. My in-laws live in New York. I hear all about it. But so they look around the country and they say, well, our COVID statistics are perfectly average, right? And we haven't been locked down nearly as badly as other states. So I think he's doing a pretty good job. I get told that almost on a daily basis by people. And I just say, well, number one, you're still not living in a constitutional republic. He's still governing by fiat, right? And there aren't different levels of tyranny.
Right.
There's
right.
only one level of tyranny. And if yes, it's exactly average. So is Florida, and they're totally open. So what are we talking about? Totally average. Good. Let's be totally average with no, you know, infringements on our liberty.
Exactly. Wow. But I'm sure you're also getting tons of calls and conversations on the street from people saying, this is ridiculous. I want to open my shop. Yeah. I want my kid not to be wearing a mask in school. Mm-hmm. Aren't you also hearing?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I will say that the legislators have gotten more emails about reopening the state than any other subject, bar none. I've had, you know, veteran legislators tell me they've never seen that many about any issue ever before.
Well, I can quite understand it. In the United States of America, when you suspend the republic, hopefully you'll hear from your constituents that this is not okay.
I kind of want to shake the legislator sometimes and say, you're irrelevant right now. It doesn't matter what we do, right? Until we end the state of emergency, we are an optional appendage, because that is how we are being treated. Right. We didn't pass a bill that the governor wanted. He just wrote an order for it. That's governing backwards.
That's really terrifying. I mean, that's the reason not to have emergency orders. So the people who are supposed to represent the constituents are not sidelined. That is, I mean, I appreciate that you are slogging through this day after day, but what you just said is literally terrifying, and it must be happening in state houses across the country.
So I think it is. I mean, every state's kind of up the same creek, you know, and we all realize that our emergency power laws need serious work. At least I hope we do. Like, I wonder about South Dakota. Are they working on their, because if they had a different governor, they would be in the same situation that we're all in here. Yeah. You cannot rely on there being a benevolent dictator.
No, you know, that's exactly right. It's not, the reason not to have tyranny is not for best case situations. It's for worst case situations. And also,
I want everyone to fight, because sometimes I do get a little bit like, wow, a lot of people are so apathetic about all of this, right? They're just kind of going through the motions, right? Don't be apathetic. We are literally fighting for the end of the constitutional republic here. And you have to get involved. You have to get to your legislators and tell them that this is it. There are legislators in this country who are really fighting back, but there's a lot of them who aren't, because they don't necessarily have any push to do so.
Well, no, I mean, best way to sideline legislators is to pass emergency measures so that they are optional, as you said. All right. Well, you've given some fantastic concrete guidance, Melissa, about how people can help you and make their voices heard. Is, you know, do you need other things? I mean, do people who are fighting to get rights back need money, for instance, donations? Do they need people to sign up to go door to door and raise awareness? What are ways that citizens can help you? Like, I'm getting hundreds of emails every day saying, how can I help? How can I help? And, you know, you're right there in the trenches, and you need help.
Right. There are groups. So Reopen New Hampshire is a PAC, and we do take donations. And like we want to raise money for billboards. We need to start pushing messaging out to the populace, right? Right now, in a way, we're sort of in an echo chamber. Right. And you got to start getting information out, especially like the mask issue has become cultural, right? It's not, there's government created problem, but it's become cultural.
Right.
And, you know, real data about masks should be pushed out to the public. And that all takes money, right? Ads take money. Billboards take money. We have thought about doing door-to-door campaigning, but frankly, it's the most expensive form. It's both thorough and effective form, but it's the most expensive to like pay people to go out there and do that.
But citizens can go to you and get your literature and
can
or to their neighbors and inform
them. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then people should go to reopennh.com. We have a list of all of the bills in New Hampshire that we've been working on. We have bills to not only reform the state of emergency laws, we have bills to protect religious liberty during the state of emergency. We have bills to protect medical freedom. We have all sorts of bills to start building in more protections from your government so that this situation can't happen anymore.
Beautifully said. And on that note, we'll wrap it up. And is there, for your own actual constituents, do you want to mention like a zip code for people who you actually represent? And do you have office hours where they can come see you? I always want to tell people, go talk to your representatives, meet your representatives. Are you physically meeting people yet, or is that not allowed under emergency law?
I mean, I do whatever I want to do, but we don't have an office. We're like the only state in the country where I get an email address. I only get paid $100 a year, and we're a real small town. I don't have any staff.
Right.
I represent Hillsborough 21, which is Merrimack, New Hampshire. And you can go to the Gen Court site. My email is there. You can also contact me through my email at reopennh.com. I am director at reopennh.com or melissa.blosick@ledge.state.nh.us.
Beautiful. Well, Melissa, I can't thank you enough for explaining, you know, what you're up against as a legislator. You're probably speaking for hundreds of legislators, and I can't thank you enough for your courage and intelligence in moving this forward. I wish that it was a bipartisan effort with a groundswell of support, but I know that you'll be hearing from people from all walks of life in New Hampshire and the rest of the country who appreciate what you're doing and want to help. So thank you for your time, and best of luck tomorrow. And everyone go show up again, the place they need to show up tomorrow.
The Bedford Sports Complex in Bedford, New Hampshire, from 8 to 9 a.m.
Beautiful. Thank you. 9 a.m. or p.m.?
A.m. when we arrive is the best time if you want to go out and hold a sign to support the budget.
Okay, everyone, go help and go save our democracy, our republic. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you. And for your effort.